I am joined now by Karen Kingston, former Pfizer employee. Karen, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Let's get to some, I'm just emailing or texting there with a major, major conservative. You guys will know who's going to be coming on next week. So even in commercial breaks, we are still working, folks. I'm still booking guests and working even during the breaks. So I'll announce who that person is coming up later, probably on Monday.
You called me today and said, what do I know about this Luciferase stuff? And yep. So this is hot off the press, so we won't go into as much detail.
Trying to bring up the slides that you sent me. Okay, let's start. Yeah. Let's start first while I'm bringing those slides up. Did you watch the interview I did last night with Melissa, the former Pfizer employee? Or I guess she's currently an employee, but it sounds like she's about to be fired. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did, yeah. I mean, we talked around 1:30 or so my time, and then I did watch it, and then I pulled together some information from the patents and also just in general what Luciferase is, what the – how this ties into genetically changing human beings. So that's what this is about.
Okay, so what did you make of what she was saying?
There's a couple things that she was saying. One, that it was glowing, like a bioluminescence blue. So that is a attribute of Luciferase, which is a catalyst and an enzyme, and we'll go into detail what it does. And it's from fireflies in general. So that's what explains the bioluminescence. And it's in the patent. So we know this is in the product. So the other thing she stated was that the people that work at Pfizer in the manufacturing facility, they didn't know what they were mixing. I guess they were that was the final plant to do the final formulation of all the ingredients to then ship out to the United States and to the rest of the world. So that's very abnormal, as she was stating, but under the emergency use authorization, and keep in mind, under the PrEP Act, Popper Act, and the Cures Act, under emergency use authorization, consumer good manufacturing practices, they're called CGMP manufacturing practices, are all thrown out the window. So all the quality control that's in place normally to produce any product, whether it is a pharmaceutical, a vaccine, or even your vitamin C supplement, there's inspections that are required and safety and toxicology tests done at every plant. And there's a final testing of all the batches before they're sent out to the public. And all that's been skipped. So there's a multiple supply chain manufacturers that are producing these quote-unquote COVID-19 vaccines from all around the world. And they're each producing different components. And at the end of the day, they all apparently end up at Pfizer for the Pfizer vaccine, and then they're mixed together. But those who are producing the final Pfizer vaccine don't know what they're putting in there.
Okay, I want to show real quick. I don't know if she can see these or not, but you saw them in the replay. Here is what Melissa sent us. And when you put it against a white wall, it has at the neck of that bottle there, that vial, has that little colorish look to it. But then there it is again against a white wall, and then against black. Now, someone from Great Britain that I know emailed me and said, could this be at all from the lights in the room and that kind of thing? But when the issue with that is, here is a normal product, looks like, under normal light, and you don't see it doing that glowing thing. And then here's the same, here's the product under the same light, on the same table, no different environment, as the slide says, yet it glows. So here it's not glowing under normal light, but then here it is. So someone emailed and said, well, couldn't that just be related to the lighting? No, we just took care of that problem right there. So then she showed that the sticker seemed to be going down lower than normal. And again, she's been on the line for 10 years, if I remember correctly. So she's saying these stickers seem to be lower, like they're trying to stop actually the more visibility of the content. There again is that same glowing. So what you're saying is that this glowing, what is causing this glowing? Is it it's called what now?
It's called Luciferase.
And why does that sound so close to Lucifer? Can you tell me?
Because the people that made this product follow Lucifer.
I think that's probably pretty easy.
Yeah.
So what, I got your slides here. We'll go through them. What do you, tell me what that does. What does that product, what does that chemical do to you?
It serves two purposes. One, it's known as an assay. That's a fancy word for a test in biology and chemical engineering. So what it does is it will map out and test to see what genetic changes have occurred within the biology of a specimen, or, you know, I guess in this case, a human being. So that's one of the things. The other thing is it is a substrate. We used that word before. That is a catalyst. So it also provides a catalyst to accelerate amplification of genetic material, so replicating that genetic material, as well as improving the integration of that genetic material into cells. So that's called, it improves transfection, which is directly integrating DNA that's not part of a cellular of a cell and integrating it with it. So it's both, it both provides information and testing, as well as a catalyst for replication of genetic material and then integration of that genetic material into cells.
Hmm. All right.
So it aids in these processes.
So let's talk before we go to the slides, unless you want to go to the slides, then talk about it. Colin Powell, do you have anything to say about him getting the shot and passing away?
Yeah, well, he was dying from, he was suffering from cancer, right? So, you know, one of the other things that's in the...
If I said patent. General Powell, did I say General Powell? It should be General Powell. Colin Powell. General Colin Powell. I can't remember what I just said. Yep.
General Colin Powell. I mean... The vaccines, what's in the vaccines has been proven to accelerate, to one, it cause the formation of cancer cells. And then if you have cancer, it's going to accelerate the cancer growth in your body through a couple of different ways. One is some of the vaccines, according to the patents, they contain HeLa, the HeLa cell line, stem cell line. And that's known as the immortal stem cell line. It's from a woman from the 1950s who died from cervical cancer. So unlike other genetic stem cells, this is the most aggressive. It proliferates, so it grows and duplicates at an astronomically fast level.
Okay, you just lost me. Are you you're telling me, not your fault. It's not your fault you lost me, but it's my fault because you're so smart and I'm struggling to keep up. Are you telling me, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is what I just heard, and I couldn't, I mean, this is what I thought I heard. Are you telling me there was a lady that died of some kind of cancer in the 1950s, and somehow she's involved in the vaccines today?
Yeah, it's called HeLa. It's the HeLa stem cell line. And so that it's in the patent, and we'll go through it. So but it's not, what the HeLa stem cell line, what it does is it accelerates cancerous tumor cell growth. I mean, it can integrate with other cancers too. It's very deadly.
So what you're telling me is someone that died of a very strong and aggressive cancer in the 50s, their what? Their DNA, their blood, their what? What from her was added to a line of vaccines?
The genetic sequencing, so the codon for that cancer cell that she had is now in the vaccines.
Why on earth would they do that? And this is not conspiracy. This is documented, correct?
It's in the patent, yeah. And I mean, it explains why people are getting these rare forms of cancer, and they're going from having no signs of cancer to end stage 4 cancer because it's the HeLa line that enables that to happen. This woman was 31 years old when she died, left 5 children behind.
In the 1950s. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So when Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I talked to her the other night, she's going to be coming on again. When she was talking to me in the spring of 2020, and she was saying that, you know, so many of these vaccines are causing breast cancer, prostate cancer, you know, colon cancer, whatever, that the cancer is in the vaccines, that they've gotten into the lines. And of course, the manufacturers, I guess Fauci convinced the Reagan administration to put something in that wouldn't hold the vaccine companies liable. So when she said to us then, this is why you're seeing so much cancer, this is part of what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, and this isn't the shocking part of what we're going to talk about today either.
But, okay, that's all right. So let me conclude on this and we'll keep moving then. So what you're telling me is, which shot is it in, number one? But number two, you're telling me that this is how dirty these vaccines are. So we're going to see a massive outbreak of cancer, even more than we've already got, which seems like a ridiculous amount already. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, there'll be a massive outbreak of cancer and very advanced forms showing up out of nowhere, basically. But in regards to, like, what's in these vaccines, we don't know. Again, the consumer good manufacturing practices were all skipped. It's Russian roulette with what's in the vaccines. We know there's microorganisms in some of the vaccines, but they're not in all of them, right? I mean, this Dr. Frank Zolinski, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, I believe out of Germany, I mean, he tested vials, and it seemed like the lots that he looked at, it was one out of every five vials had a microorganism. So what vials contain the HeLa stem cell line? I don't know. I mean, we don't know. This is... Brandon, what has to happen is there needs to be a mass stop to all of this right now in our country and across the globe. And everything that's been done, it's not been just unlawful, it's been criminal. Everything, the FDA authorization was criminal, the FDA approval was criminal, the manufacturing has been criminal, the propaganda regarding the safety and efficacy has been criminal. This is a massive global terrorist attack on humanity. It's all criminal. It needs to stop. We've been lied to, and people are dying. And as people like myself and physicians come forward with what they're finding in publicly available government documents, it's clear that this is an act of genocide against the global population. You're a history buff, and I'm not, but whether it's China or some global terrorist group, there was no defeating the United States. We have the most powerful economy. We had the most powerful military. So the only way to take out democracy, would be for the American people to concede, you know, in an effort to commit self-harm and or suicide against their own population. And they would need the American people and the American military to willingly do this. That's the only way America could ever be taken out. And that's what we've done. I don't understand why Congress, you know, every representative from every state is not filing criminal charges against, you know, our government, you know, the FDA. What the FDA has done is not unlawful. It is criminal. What Fauci has done is not unlawful. It is criminal. Period. It's all criminal.
And yet the FBI wants to investigate as domestic terrorists America's moms speaking at school board meetings.
Again, and that's part of the criminal propaganda that's going on. You know, terrorism is defined as an act that results in the harm or death of American citizens that violates state and federal laws. That's what's going on. Again, if you look at the VAERS data, those are not adverse events because that would be unintended consequences. The FDA met on October 22nd in 2020, and they listed out myocarditis, encephalitis, elimination of your platelets, thrombocytopenia, death. They knew what they were doing. We have all the evidence to show the FDA, the NIH, the CDC. They all knew what was going to happen. They executed their plan. They used behavioral insights in partnership with the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, including Harvard Business, you know, Harvard at the helm of this, to know how to psychologically, mentally, and emotionally manipulate Americans to do something that had no benefit to them, and then to cover it up. And then they used Penn University, a Penn State University, to then use the psychological insights on doctors and the doctor-patient relationship to make this happen. This is all criminal. I don't understand why people aren't moving forward with criminal charges.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this again. My layman mind here. The, correct me if I'm saying it wrong, the HeLa, H-E-L-A, is that how you say that stem line? HeLa?
HeLa.
Okay, the HeLa stem cells, they're in this patent, but we don't, and this patent is what we're about to go through, right? This is the patent we're about to go through. When you say it's in the patent, is this the patent we're about to go through?
Yeah, it's the Moderna patent that's available on the Moderna website for all the mRNA vaccines. You can get it on the Moderna website. The link's there. So
what you're saying is it is a matter of documentation that the HeLa stem cells is in some of these vaccines or any of the mRNA vaccines, right?
Yeah.
And the HeLa stem cells dates back to a woman who died from cervical cancer, a very aggressive form of cancer in the 1950s, and it's in this mRNA vaccine. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. She died at 31 years of age and left 5 children behind. Mm-hmm.
And this would maybe, along with the
Luciferase,
may explain that in the HeLa stem cells may explain why, or not, I'm said may explain why someone like General Colin Powell, who I think was already suffering with some major medical issues, but it could have certainly exacerbated his health situation should he have gotten the mRNA vaccine. Is that true?
Yes. And there's people I know someone personally who developed myeloma. I don't want to say any more than that, but I know Dr. Mikovich has had to mourn the loss of her daughter-in-law,
you know,
a young, healthy woman in her 40s who all of a sudden manifested with advanced stage 4 myeloma, which is a rare form of bone cancer that normally shows up in people in their 80s.
After being vaxxed.
And then I was on the show last time, and I showed you the delivery devices, specifically the magnetic nanoparticles that target the bone. So, you know, they can be delivering anything into them. They could be delivering carcinogenic, cancer-causing stem cell line, along with, vascular growth endothelial factors to accelerate the growth. I mean, this is a lethal injection, and it also causes genetic mutations too. I mean, there's no gray area anymore. People need to just.
This is science. They want to tell Pastor Art Pawlowski that he's denying science up there in Canada for keeping his church open and saying the things he's saying. Reality is they're the ones denying science. You're laying out Judy Mikovich, Dr. McCullough, Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I mean, I could keep going. These are the ones laying out the science, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I take it a step further. Everything I present, I'm presenting from our government websites and from the manufacturer's own documents. What I'm presenting on your show is no different than what companies pay me to do to go through a medical legal review process to get their products approved by the FDA and are their materials as far as what they can and cannot say approved by the FDA. This is, there's nothing I'm presenting that isn't standard. It's science. It's government documents. This is what I do for a living. I mean, there's the other stuff that you're hearing on the mainstream media is propaganda. This is the truth.
Wow. All right, let's go to the slides. What's this first slide we're looking at here, Karen?
I just wanted people to know that you can get this patent off of the Moderna website. This is that master patent that covers the mRNA vaccines, and this includes the lipid nanoparticle delivery system. So I just wanted to put that up there. But I also wanted to note Section 74, where it explains the polynucleotide. So that's the fancy term for the makeup of genetic material. Can include other agents, including triple helix formations. Formation is a little bit more of a vague word. Aptamers are biomarkers. and vectors. So it says triple helix vectors. So typically a vector would be just the lipid nanoparticle, but in another patent that we went over, a vector could also be a microorganism. So for example, if the government wanted to get people injected with an infectious disease or what they're calling now vaccines, a vector could be a mosquito. And Dr. Ralph Baric was funded by the NIH, you know, tens of millions of dollars to research the dengue virus, which is a form of malaria, if you will, but more aggressive, that's transmitted through mosquitoes. So he did do a lot of research on that. So that would be a vector. The mosquito would be a vector. Potentially in these injections, there are parasites that could be considered the vector. The vector is supposed to deliver a vaccine, you know, to help protect your immune system. But in this case, what we're seeing is that microorganism is developing toxins and or other mutations to harm people. And that seems to be a Hydra-based vector. We don't have time to go into all that today, but that's what it is.
All right.
And then next slide. The next slide, this is section 54. And I just wanted to explain that I see what I just said, that the vector is used to deliver, you know, it can be used to use toxins or to amplify, you know, transfection. So the production of genetic material and the insertion of. So on your show last time, a vector could also be those deliver systems we went over, the nanospheres, the nanomagnets, the nano single-walled carbon nanotubules, the graphene tubules. So those are also vectors that then can deliver product to then amplify the acceleration of whether it's tumor cells, cancer cells, or other developments of other even organisms in someone's body. So I just wanted to be clear that that's what that is.
Okay.
And then if you go on the next slide, because what we really wanted to talk about is the luciferase. So what this shows is some of the primers, so the catalysts that are in probes, so diagnostics, that are included. And so if you just go down to the bottom three, you see LUC1, LUC2, LUC3. That's luciferase. And I believe that's the codon, that's the genetic code. So I believe that's the genetic code for the firefly, part of the firefly substance that they're using in the vaccines.
When you say firefly, you mean like the kind we used to catch in bottles when we were kids?
No, it's not that. Well, I actually have the studies for you to look at exactly what the firefly is. But yeah, but it's conceptually the same thing. So that's what that is. And so if you go on to the next slide, this explains what luciferase does. It's from our NIH website. And, you know, I know this is all in big terms, but it explains is that it maps out, it's excellent at mapping out different genetic sequences across diverse types of species and stuff. So it's an excellent assay in that manner. And then at the bottom, it talks about it being a substrate. So again, being a catalyst for amplification, duplication of genetic material, and then the integration of that genetic material. It can help with that, you know, into cells, into organisms, into, you know, genetic material, you know, material that you want to actually change the genetic sequence of.
Okay, let's break that down in layman terms. This is what I think I heard. Correct me if I'm wrong. The luciferase helps to impart or deliver some chemical into more parts of the cell. Is that what I'm hearing?
Genetic material. To deliver the genetic material.
Okay, yeah. So
the luciferase would be the catalyst, that chemical product that helps the integration.
Well, look at the headline. Exploring the limits of luciferase multiplexing to assay multiple cellular signaling pathways at once. So in other words, the luciferase helps to deliver or distribute what to the cells?
Well, the assay it's a measurement of the genetic code, and then it delivers that genetic code into the cells. It helps do that. It helps facilitate that integration.
Okay. So that luciferase helps to deliver that agent into the cell lines.
Yes.
Okay.
And it can do it across a diverse genetic portfolio. That's the point.
Okay.
And I remember the first page of the patent that I showed you, again, we talked about integration of creating triple helix DNA, which is not in the animal kingdom and not in the plant kingdom, right? We have 46 chromosomes, double helix, period. So this is not of anything that God created, just to be clear about that.
Okay. So this is the next slide, 5.
Yeah, and I just wanted to show, this is an actual NIH grant. So this is what American tax dollars went to. And if you just go to the bottom, you can see that $400,000 went to this study. It was awarded in May of this year, and it ends in May of next year, the final study. And in regards to the public health relevant statement, this is not in the benefit of the public health. This is in the benefit of these scientists who want to, modify human genetic material. So it's not, there's no real benefit there.
And what it also sound like what they want to do is kill people, depopulation, cancer. I mean, this will be great for the cancer industry, will it not?
Yeah, they'll have to come out with some more of their CAR-T, chimeric antigen receptor T-cell therapies that, start at about $1 million a treatment.
Who's going to pay for that?
We will.
The insurance companies or the government or both? One and the same now.
Yeah, I mean, the government. I mean, Americans will. This is why we're going to own nothing and like it. I mean, spending our money on getting us sick.
And when you say $1 million, you mean $1 million for the treatment for one person?
Yes.
And that's assuming... That's assuming they're going to want to treat you, but once they find out what your worldview is and that I've had a big mouth, if I were to get this, which I'm not going to get the vax, but someone that got it by making a bad decision, they find out what their worldview is and they need $1 million in treatment to be saved. Goodbye. Active euthanasia.
Yeah. I mean, the injections are a form of, it's a lethal injection in many, many people. Some people did get placebo, though. I mean, that's confirmed by a number of different sources. So some people didn't get this, but it's very disturbing, for sure. I mean, absolutely.
What is slide 6?
So I just wanted to show that it is the luciferase is this firefly bioluminescence. So it explains why those vials are glowing, because it just says here, it's the emission of the bioluminescence from it. And then it just goes on to the fourth thing, paragraph saying that it is a reaction of the luciferase substrate. So that's the substrate it's a catalyst for a chemical reaction. And let's see, does it go on? It talks about the light matter. It talks about providing biomarkers as well. And then it enclosed analytical test of metabolites like ATP. So ATP is just the molecule. It's one of the best molecules for energy transmission. So again, it's a catalyst, right? It allows for chemical reactions to happen that improve outcomes. So if you go on to the next slide.
Let me ask you this. I hate to belabor the point because I want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding. When they use the phrase firefly, do they, are they meaning they literally use fireflies? Do they take the chemical of what makes a firefly light up and somehow use this in the process? Or if not, why are they using the word firefly?
Yeah, she's going through the slides because I have pictures of them. They're not fireflies. It looks like worms to me, actually. But
they look like what?
Worms. Go to the next slide.
Okay. This is slide 7.
So this is the name of it is Orphelia fultoni. So this is the blue, it says brilliantly blue emitting luciferase system. So that's, that's what you saw in those vials was this blue light.
That's right.
So it's called, the Latin term is, the name for this species is Orphelia fultoni, and I can't pronounce this, Caroplatinae diphtheria. So if you go to the next slide.
Bingo.
So that's it. That's the larva. Yeah, it's blue.
Okay. Now we've gone from fireflies to larva. What is this? What is this? Is it from a worm or what is
that's
it?
That's the eggs. Those are the eggs of the firefly. So go on the next slide. Because sometimes look can also be purplish. So, and I've heard Dr. Carrie Madej say, like, sometimes it looks blue, sometimes it looks purplish. So I guess it can be either or. And then if you go on to the next one, you can see the larva. So, yeah, and then you can see, like, they put a little vaccine thing there for you to see.
Good grief.
So, yeah. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I mean, I just pulled this stuff together for you today. I mean, I'm just, you know, had a couple tears, cried a few times, and I got put my hair and makeup on and got on.
Good
so,
grief.
So, we're never told what's in these. This, again, that's criminal. And I do go to the next slide. I just want to be clear that this does change your DNA.
Okay, can I ask a question again? Because it's, I hate to belabor the point.
Ahead.
Are you telling me this is the larva from fireflies? I mean, they're the eggs. They're the eggs from fireflies, right?
But I don't think it's the fireflies that I grew up with in, you know, New York. I don't know what fireflies these are, but it's, yeah, that's the larva from some fireflies.
Okay.
That's, yeah,
all right.
I don't.
All right.
I think there's different fireflies. I don't.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I mean, no matter what, it's disgusting. I mean,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
It gets worse than being infected with firefly larvae.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. It gets worse. So this was a press release that was put out on June 7th, 2021. ADC Biologics is the one of the top manufacturers of biological agents, you know, and gene therapies, et cetera, you know, in the industry. And so this is a quote from their former chief business officer. Mark has gone on to another organization. But this press release was June 7th. And what it says is, I'll just read it. We are honored that BioNTech has entrusted us. So BioNTech is the maker of the Pfizer vaccine. BioNTech has entrusted us to become part of their global supply network in an effort to make the vaccine available to as many people as possible around the world, says AGC Biologics Chief Business Officer Mark Womack. We are very proud of our efforts to provide our global customers with the essential materials needed to rapidly deliver vaccines in the fight against COVID-19 pandemic. AGC Biologics will manufacture and supply BioNTech and Pfizer with the plasmid DNA starting material, an essential component of the BioNTech's mRNA-based vaccine and manufacturing process. Why is that alarming? Nobody was told they were injected with plasmid DNA. Go on to the next slide. I just keep going through this. What is plasmid DNA? Okay, it is used for a number of applications, including transfection, which is insertion of genetic material into your cells, sequencing, which we know is the genetic sequencing of, you know, figuring out what the genetic codes are. Clones. Okay, we know what clones are. That's when you're cloning. I'll go through the slide on restriction digestion, which is when you basically cut and paste DNA into different parts of a genetic sequence. And PCR is the polymerase chain reaction. So that is mapping out a full DNA code and then taking what's called a codon and like copy-pasting. So that the point of plasmid DNA is to help with integration of new genetic material into a being, basically. Just that's what it is. You can skip through the slide so people can see these.
Say that last. I think that last sentence summed it all up. Say that last sentence again.
So the purpose of the plasmid DNA is to help with the integration of genetic material into a being.
And the question would be, what genetic material, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So it can integrate viral genetic material. It can integrate genetic material from other species. It can integrate bacterial genetic material. No one was told about this. And if you're saying it doesn't contain plasmid DNA, then write the board of AGC Biologics and tell them they're lying, Reuters. You go tell AGC.
Have you presented this anywhere else? Is this the first time you've presented this?
Yeah, you called me to talk about luciferase, so I'm just
And so you just threw this together. So you just threw it together this afternoon. This is the first time This is the first time you've presented this about the plasma, the plasma DNA.
I mentioned it somewhere else, but I don't remember when. We haven't shown the press release.
Wow. Well, we're so thankful for you. Keep going.
Yeah. So this is, again, I told you what transfection means, Thermo Fisher. This is their definition. It's the process of artificially introducing DNA and RNA into cells.
Okay.
It can result in the change of properties of the cell. This is a genetic change to your genetic makeup. And Reuters, go pound sand. If you say what I'm saying is false, send a letter to Thermo Fisher Scientific. Tell them to take down the definition.
Can result in a change of the properties of the cell. So now these guys are injecting stuff into people to change the very makeup of their cell and their DNA.
Yeah. So one of the makeups of the cells is you could have perfectly healthy cells that now will not go through natural cell death and have HeLa injected into them. And so now you've got an aggressive cancerous cells that are forming tumors in your body. So that's one change. There could also be interspecies changes. We don't have time to go through that today, but
okay.
Wired hydras and some of this stuff.
All right.
Keep going.
Slide 14.
Oh, so what I wanted to just emphasize here is that this is a this enhances transfection. That's what this basically says. So it enhances the ability for this genetic material to penetrate the cell and integrate, and then integrate with it. So luciferase does that, as does plasma DNA. I mean, they really created the most potent, weaponized combination of chemicals and synthetically modified to really hijack the genetic materials that make up a human being. So that's the whole point of this.
Okay. Slide 15.
This is just, again, something else that the plasma DNA does. It does restriction digestion, which is the process in which DNA is cut at specific sites. So there's another term for this, and it escapes me right now. It's basically genetic jumping. So you can take a genetic codon from one species, and it can jump and splice and integrate into another species. There's another term for it, and it's not with me right now. So that's basically what this is.
Okay. So keep going.
Keep going. Yeah.
Okay. Slide 16.
So you're talking about, like, is it, you know, how do you know HeLa is in the vaccines? Well, it's in the patent. And a histogram is a fancy word for a chart. So this is just a chart where they showed when the cells were exposed to HeLa, the HeLa stem cells. This is VEGF is vascular endothelial growth factor. So what it shows is that when it's treated, you see an amplification in the production of HeLa cells.
And HeLa cells are bad, right?
Yeah, they're cancer cells. They're very aggressive. They're called the immortal cell line. It is probably the most aggressive, deadly cancer that we know of that's been isolated.
And it came from this lady in the 1950s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who died from cervical cancer.
The VEGF production, what that shows is vascular endothelial growth factor. So what happens when you have cancer is it's aggressive. It starts growing, and it creates cells, endothelial cells, and it creates angiogenesis, so, you know, vasculature, you know, and it starts growing. And what you want to do is you want to stop that. But what this shows is that VEGF, vascular endothelial growth factor, goes through the roof, right? So that means that it grows very, very quickly when it's exposed to the HeLa cell line. So again, it's a very aggressive cancer that progresses exponentially faster than most cancers.
Just so the audience remembers, this is the Moderna patent, right?
Yes, which is the mother of all patents, right? They fall, the mRNA vaccines all fall underneath this.
So if you get an mRNA vaccine for COVID, their patent says this HeLa is in it, right?
Well, the patent says that the Gila can be in it. It says it doesn't say it is in it. It says that we can put this in it if we want to.
Okay.
That's what the patent says. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 17, slide 17.
So I just thought this, again, I just pulled this off for people to see with their own eyes. So what Gila is it divides over and over again. You can pull this off any website. And that's why it's called the immortal cell line. It's very difficult to kill, to stop.
Notice what it says there. Gila is an immortal cell line used in scientific research, is the oldest and most commonly used human cell line. The line is named after and derived from cervical cancer cells taken on February 8th, 1951 from Henrietta Lacks, which I guess is why it's called Gila, a 31-year-old African-American mother of five who died of cancer on October 4th, 1951. And again, why on earth would you want to use that? What is the benefit of using this in science? Quote science.
Yeah, this has all been done under the guise of helping people, and it's not. I mean, John Hopkins has an entire section of their research site dedicated to this Gila stem.
So we're gonna inject cancer cancer cells, a human cell line from a lady that died of one of the most aggressive cancers known, and by doing that and putting it into vaccines, and we're gonna help humanity. That's the bull we're being sold.
Yeah, it's a bunch of hooky. I mean, it's a long line. Mm-hmm. So just on the next, so again, when you're exposed to Gila, what they see is a major uptake in what's called granulocyte macrophage colonial stimulating factor. So what is that? That is a cytokine that's an immune response that shows aggressive growth of a cancer. It is the immune system's, I would say the immune system's grim reaper call if you get an amplification of GCSF or GM-CSF, right? This is the final blow to kill a person. Maybe it's the immune system's, normally it would be a natural mercy way to take someone out of pain who has been suffering from cancer. It comes in very quickly, and you very quickly progress from maybe a later stage cancer to death. So that's what this is.
Okay, slide 19.
We can skip this, but it's another application. So this slide, Carrie Madej, I don't know if Carrie's going to show, but
yeah,
Carrie.
Yeah, twice.
Okay, so I did a recording with Carrie and Dr. Artis a couple of days ago for the Global Alliance Against the COVID-19 Vaccines, and I had shown on your show these little nanospheres.
Yes, you did.
And I believe they do deliver, whether it's SRF or VEGF, to accelerate growth, right? SRF was the serum something factor, I can't remember, but it's critical in embryonic development. That's what it's needed for. And I asked Carrie, like, if she thought that this was similar to some of those nanospheres. She said, well, no, that little image on the right is, but she said this looked to her like an embryo. So it looks like the blastula. So the beginning of the embryonic development of something. So the question is, what thing is being developed? What is this an embryo of that maybe is in some people's bodies now that's developing? And, I was thinking, you can go back to you and I talking, Brandon, because I do want to talk to you about this.
Okay.
So I was thinking about why they were saying, hey, there's no such thing as men and women, and now we need to call them birthing people. And I'm like, well, who are these godless people who don't believe in gender and believe men can give birth? And I guess, be careful what you wish for. When you start building your belief systems and your reality away from God, because that term birthing people could come true. These look like embryonic cells. We know there's also been some kind of chimeric hydras injected in people. And there seems to be embryonic development going on of a thing inside people's bodies. And this doctor, Frank Zolaski, had said, what he found was like these little eggs when they were exposed to graphene oxide in an environment that was similar to the human body. The head was around 2 millimeters, and then there were three legs that were up to 2.5 meters. That's 8 feet long. So again, this concept of programming people that everyone can be a birthing person, I'm not sure what these godless people are wishing for.
But what is this supposed to be the embryo of? Is it embryo of what?
Nobody knows.
It's kind of like something out of Aliens, the movie.
Yeah, well, we know the NIH created a chimeric hydra. So we don't have time to go through that today. But and we know those images that Carrie saw resembled a hydra. So, you know, and it seems that these injections that people are getting are, for lack of a better word, nutrition for these man-made synthetic organisms that are combined with non-plant kingdom, non-animal kingdom species. And this Dr. Zielinski had said, I think I'm saying his name right, had said that the hydra he tested contained some medical elements like aluminum and graphene oxide. And that would be where the triple helix comes in. And Twist Bioscience, by the way, has a next generation sequencing platform where they were able to take things like art, collections of artwork, like a Monet, and do the genetic sequence of it, and then it can be reproduced. So if there is, I mean, there are platforms out there that allow you to create a genetic sequence of anything and then integrate it with other genomes. I mean, that can be done through Ares too, which is this platform that is being worked on by both the NIH and the DOD. And on September 23rd, Dr. Francis Collins wrote an article about it, saying that Ares stands for Atomic Rotationally Equivalent Scorer. And when it was given RNA molecules and structures to be determined, Ares figured out ways to then build cells and tissues from these RNA structures. And it actually came up with 1,500 possible 3D structures and then on its own determined what was the most viable option. And Ares is artificial intelligence, by the way. It's an artificial intelligence platform.
That they're building inside the human body?
The question is Ares in some of these injections? You know, it's an artificial intelligence platform. And the question
I've got 3 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to go to slide 21?
No, because that just shows the
I think slide 22.
No, you don't have to go to that. This just shows that the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has been tracking behavioral insights. Yeah, I go to 22, I guess.
Okay.
So just so people know is that behavioral insights have been used by our government and global governments, you know, to influence people. The environmental programs that have been put out there really weren't about the environment. It was figuring out what would motivate American people to do something that really didn't benefit them at all. So what they found was Harvard did several long-term studies, and what they found the best way to make Americans comply with policies, government policies, was to use social influence. The top three things were saying, look, your neighbors are doing it. Make it very publicly obvious that your neighbors are doing it. Make the benefit self-evident to you. So, you know, as opposed to saying, this is just good for, this isn't just a good product, it's good for you and your neighbors. And then also, the last thing was to, make it public whether or not you're actively participating. So what influences Americans is
peer pressure.
Exactly. That's what, and public, making public knowledge, which is why this whole vaccine HIPAA thing was thrown out the window and everyone was doing that. But if you go to the next slide, OECD is a sponsor of this. That's the organization we talked about that Blinken spoke out. And if you go to slide 23, this just shows that there's 202 organizations, 202 countries throughout the world that participate in it. And go to the next slide. I just want to show you the organizations that participate in it within the United States. So they are these organizations in the U.S. are working with the OECD Behavioral Insights platform. So our DOD,
HUD, the IRS, FTC, DOJ,
yes.
DOD.
Yeah, they're figuring out the psychological and social triggers to make us obedient. So I just want to be clear. And then if you go to those are all the government associations. On the other side, you have outside the government and multinational. So again, big Harvard, that's Harvard. Harvard figured out how to make Americans obedient to the vaccine mandates and how to roll that out. One of the other things too that they do talk about in making people obedient is the domino effect, right? So wiping out all your habits and then slowly building them back up. We had a lockdown so that our total social norms were disrupted, and then it was just stand 6 feet apart. Then it was just wear a mask. And then it was wear a mask, stand 6 feet apart. And now it's just get a vaccine. But they had to disrupt all your habits first. And then that last slide too, you can also see Penn State's on there. And Penn did the initiatives to learn how to make doctors obedient to the vaccine mandates and how they can communicate with their patients to make them obedient. I think, Penn Nudge Unit. So again, you know, people think that our government is working on behalf of the American people and our Constitution. It's time to take a look at the data and the facts. They are working with a new world order rules-based organization called OECD, and they are working with them to understand how to manipulate the American population.
So what's the headline? What's the headline from tonight before we go? What's the headline? What's the big headline tonight to wrap all this up? You've had to put one sentence on it. What we just learned, what is it?
The COVID-19 pandemic and mandates are not in the best interests of the American people. They're in the best interests of the American government. Complete violation of our Constitution. I'm not really sure.
And at the patents for mRNA reveals that they can put massive cancer-causing agents in the vaccines if they want to. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And under the PrEP Act, remember, under the PrEP Act, they can do this. The PrEP Act says you can do something that's unlawful, you can do it knowing that's going to harm people or kill them, and you won't be charged with anything as long as you're following orders under HHS.
The headline to me is the mRNA vaccine patent can use cancer cell lines, aggressive cancer cell lines for depopulation and to create a massively sick cancerous population if so desired.
Yeah, and they can use luciferase too to help with that process.
All right, now this is where I would plug a website if you had one, but we're hoping that one day you get one. But in the meantime, you're too busy prepping for shows like this. I can't thank you enough. I'm sure our audience can't thank you enough. Your knowledge is overwhelming. Clearly, you have been providentially directed in your life to this point in time, and you and I became friends providentially, because who else would we turn to for this information? Your whole life has prepared you for right now. You do realize that, Karen, right?
My heart's sad because of the betrayal of our government against the American people. And I wish people who, I don't know who has authority, but if you're in Congress and you have authority, if you're an attorney of authority, if you're an AG of a state and you have authority, I want to provide you with information. I understand law. I understand these documents and I understand the patents. This is a massive criminal lawsuit. The data is, you know, overwhelmingly proves that they are guilty. Keep in mind, the PrEP Act changed the definition of a threat to national security. Under Clinton administration, the Clinton doctrine, it was a threat to the preamble of the Constitution, which is our peace, our tranquility, our national defense, and our posterity,
right,
our children.
Right.
Under the PrEP Act, it changed to, it is what is in the best interest of the government. And if it's in the best interest of the government to kill American people and permanently disable them and take out our military because they're working with enemy governments, then they're allowed to do that under the PREP Act.
Wow. We have to leave it there. We'll have you back. I can't thank you enough. I know it's not fun doing all this and putting all these slides together, but it's absolutely vital the American people are aware of what's going on, and it's vital for them to know we now know, and they're not going to get away with it, that the American people are being informed, and whether it's here or in eternity, there will be a day of reckoning for what these people have done. So I think God will punish them either here or later. But all I can say is thank you for bringing this information to us so we can hold these folks accountable, use the legal process, and defend ourselves at the local, state, and federal, against the federal level. So all I can say is thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Brannon. Say the Lord's Prayer. Good night, everybody.
Wow, shocking.